What a lovely service today. What a nice change and the variety. Thank you, street pastors and school pastors, coming in today. I remember when they were trying to talk with the police about this, I was on the independent advisory board, which was really boring. I went to meetings that went on and on. People seemed to like the sound of their own voices, and it was dreadful. But I realise now why I was there, because this inspector, superintendent, wasn't going to allow this in Rochdale. But I spoke to him, and he said, okay, we'll give it a try. Isn't that good? So it's being in the right place at the right time. So thank God. And all that work that's been done. I've not been involved since then, but it's great to see what's going on. And in regard to Saturday, Ernest has asked me to announce, stand up, Ernest, wave to us, he's at the back. He's our field marshal, not field marshal. We've got two car park marshals now, haven't we? That's great. If you can help on Saturday with all kinds of things, but especially with the kitchen and serving tables, Adam will help. He's doing the washing up, he said. And so if you can help with that kind of thing and help with the catering, that would be absolutely superb. So please see Ernest. He'll be standing at the door at the end of the service to collect your name for Saturday, so don't forget, it's going to be a great time. Life, life, life is the title of my talk, and 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday I spoke on He is Risen, the resurrection of our Lord, and I was stirred to think that way before Jesus actually died and rose again, he said these words found in John 11, verses 25 and 26, it should say. So if we go to the next slide, let's say it together, shall we? Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Wow, those are awesome words from the very lips of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said these words before he died and rose again. So this is remarkable. Nobody had ever said anything quite like this. But Jesus, of course, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And the I ams are all about who Jesus is, what Jesus is. And if you're familiar with the Bible, there's lots of them in the Bible. If you're not familiar, it's worth looking up these wonderful truths. Jesus said this before he raised Lazarus from the dead. His best friend had died. Jesus was upset, so upset he cried. Do you know, it's okay to cry. Men, women, the greatest person who ever lived, wept. Jesus wept. If you peel onions, it's a certain kind of chemical that causes your eyes to water. But when you cry because of emotion, because of a loss of a loved one or whatever, it's a different chemical and it's powerful. And it can help you. Jesus, our example. As far as everyone else was concerned, Lazarus was dead. End of. We won't see him again. But before Jesus raised him up, he declared what he was and what he is. Martha was another friend of Jesus, Mary and Martha. Lovely people. Martha was always busy, and we need busy people, don't we? Mary was the more sort of mystic type, not like Mystic Meg kind of type, but mystic in the right kind of a way. But Martha was like the woman at the well. She says a truth, but it seems far off in the future. So remote, it only gives her a little bit of comfort at that time. But Jesus expresses something here which imparts faith, trust, and hope. And if you need faith today, Jesus is the one who imparts it, so don't even worry about that. If you need trust, he's the one to come to. And if you need hope, well, this world needs hope, doesn't it? Jesus is the hope of the world. And firstly, we see what Jesus is, or even the greatness of Jesus in this. When I read what Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," it evokes praise from my heart. I don't know about you. I can't keep quiet when I believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Absolutely. I tell you, people get excited about all kinds of weird things, like football matches and weddings and things. But I tell you, let's get excited about Jesus today. If it doesn't spark something in you to praise God, I think you're dead. And you need life. You need to hear what I'm saying today. Jesus tells her what he is. He shows his authority over life and death in this wonderful statement. False religions can be sussed out, found out by their attitude to Jesus Christ. Any ism or any cult, any religion can be found out by whether it believes that Jesus is the Christ, whether Jesus is who he says he is. And if they don't acknowledge the lordship of Jesus, that religion, that cult, that preacher on the internet is false. They're not true. Stop watching stuff that denies the lordship of Jesus Christ. Flee away from it. John's gospel, it stands out as the I am gospel. And we did a series a few years ago on the I ams, things like Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Come and eat of me. Enjoy me. Taste and see that I'm good." Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." He said, "I am the good shepherd." And he said, "It's the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep." And that's what we've heard about. That's what we've been remembering this morning through the communion. Jesus said so many different things. He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the very light of life, the light of heaven." Wow. And I believe today, as God's word goes forward, light is dissipating. You know, when you go into a darkened room and you switch the light on, where does the darkness go? And it's like that when you become a Christian. You think, why did I doubt? Why did I not believe? But this morning, the Lord's switching the light on for you if you'll only believe in him. So Jesus said, "I am." And this is the Greek equivalent, the Old Testament Hebrew word for "I am." In other words, Jesus claims God's title here. So important that we get this. And this is what upset the Jews. He said in John chapter 6, verse 41, "I am and none beside me." I am. So you can't put any other prophet or any other spiritual person who's ever lived on the same level as Jesus. Because Jesus is "I am." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's pretty exclusive. Other religions, other ways will not get you to heaven, but Jesus will take you there because he loves you and he died for you. And so we see the purpose here, purpose that you might know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God. When Mark writes his gospel at the beginning, he doesn't say it in the rest of his gospel, but at the beginning he says, this story is all about Jesus, the Son of God. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus, the Son of God. If you've never seen that before, let your eyes be open today. Let the light shine into that dark spot in your mind or in your heart. And it will change your life. It will give you a purpose as well. So Jesus is equal with God. He said, "I am the author of resurrection. I'm the cause of resurrection. Without me, resurrection doesn't happen." Not only did he say this before he raised Lazarus, but before he himself died and rose again. The whole of the Christian faith hinges on this doctrine, on this truth of the resurrection. There's no Christian faith without the resurrection. Let us believe that. The whole of our faith hinges on this truth. And it's so it depends, Jesus says, on my power. It depends on my will, that it might be said, I am resurrection itself. I am the resurrection. So that's purpose. Then there's pleasure. Listen to this from John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 21. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Do you realize when you invite Jesus into your life, the Lord himself is pleased. He's pleased with you for accepting this truth, this wonderful knowledge of his love. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. Wonderful. It's the most expressive way of saying the whole doctrine of the resurrection came from him, and the whole power to effect it was his. John 10, verse 18 says, and it's about the good shepherd there, isn't it? And the good shepherd given his life for the sheep. And here we see not only the pleasure of God, but we see the power of God, or Jesus. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it again. This command I received from my Father. You see, Jesus is life. He gives life. He sustains life. He is life. The whole of the universe is upheld by the power of his word. I want to know somebody like that, don't you? The whole of the universe, Jesus, he holds it in the power of his word. Secondly, we not only see what Jesus is and the greatness of Jesus, but we see what you must do, and you must grasp the hope today. Grasp the hope. You see, Jesus said this, the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean to say you'll never die physically again. Some people sort of believe and think, oh, I'll never die now. Oh, it's not quite like that. It's a bit different. You must believe. You will reject this statement, though, if you think death ends all. A lot of people think that's it. You're dead, kaput, annihilation, you're gone, you're out of it. Full stop. I feel so sorry for anybody who thinks this is it, this life is it. Because there's so much more. Physical death, to some, may be known as the grim reaper. Have you heard that saying? The grim reaper, the final winner of life. But what if death doesn't end all? A famous preacher before Billy Graham said, one day you will see the paper. You'll see in the paper, Moody is dead. Don't you believe it? I will be more alive than ever. Hallelujah. Because that's the thing about this life that God gives. But it's by faith and faith alone these truths are accepted. Accept it. Don't try and work it all out with your head. Just receive it into your heart. Faith does not preserve us from physical death, but for the believer, death is temporal. Yeah? Paul said it's like going to sleep. My mother used to say, I'm going to go to sleep and I'll wake up with Jesus in the morning. How amazing is this faith for the believer, the one who believes. The great last enemy of mankind is death. And death evokes fear, doesn't it? I remember when I went to the dentist. Anybody ever been to the dentist? Who loves going to the dentist? I was 14 years of age. And I had two teeth that needed, well, in these days they would fill them, but this was Taylor the Butcher dentist, Failsworth, Oldham Road. Evil man. And as a 14-year-old, I didn't know what was what. I didn't know you could save teeth. So he put this mask. Have you ever had that mask, the gas mask, on? Breathe in. Bang! Suddenly, I was out of it. Everything was black. It was like the deepest, thickest blackness I'd ever known. Oh, and I just felt myself going down and down and down. Poor David. Oh, it was awful. And they then tried to wake me up, and you're trying to get out of the chair. And I didn't die. I was just asleep. I was put to sleep. There's a difference between going to sleep and being put to sleep. I'd hope there's nobody facing an operation in the near future. But I tell you what that did for me as a 14-year-old. It made me realize that without Jesus, death is terrible. Without Jesus, you can feel darkness. Without Jesus, there's nothing to look forward to, and that's where I felt I was going. So that Sunday, I was the first to repent. I was the first out at the front getting right with God and saying, sorry, Lord, I want to live for you from now on. It was life-changing. So if you're away from God, you might feel a visit to the dentist might help you. But the great last enemy of mankind is death. The same fear of death is for the great, for the rich, for the poor, for the weak, and the well. At the end of the day, you've got to face it. Face it, friends. You cannot brush death under the carpet. You cannot ignore it. It won't go away. If you sort of think about it, I think it away. Mind over matter. Mind over death. No, it's still going to get you. The Grim Reaper's coming. It comes nearer every day. There's one guarantee in life, and it's this. You're going to die. You came to church to be encouraged this morning, didn't you? I'm just speaking the truth in love. It's not a matter if you're going to die, it's when are you going to die? So face it. But then there's a fullness. But when you believe, Jesus said, you live. Wow, the fear of death is lifted off you. It is, it's gone. You're no longer worried about kicking the bucket. You know where you're going. You see, you enter a new and a higher life. It's a better life. It's abundant life. It's a life with a capital L. It's everlasting life. And it's on offer to all who receive it. All who believe, Jesus says. All who believe. You enter this new life today and enjoy the life where there's no fear. We live in a world that's hopeless. It's without hope, isn't it? It's getting worse, isn't it? Did you watch news this morning? It's getting worse. I didn't watch it, but I know it's getting worse. I just overheard something Carol was watching. The only hope for the world, the only hope for you and me is Jesus. And he brings you real life and satisfying life, life abundantly. And thirdly, we see what will happen if we believe. The glory of heaven. The future is bright. Used to be an advert. The future is bright. The future is? Oh, you television gogglebox people. Future is bright. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And that word believing is in the continuous present. So I not only believed when I was 8 or 14, I've been saved a few times, 16. You only get saved once. But I've been reassured throughout my life. And I thank God that since that moment when I was 16, I've never doubted my salvation. And you don't need to doubt your salvation anymore. Just believe. Trust in the word of God. You see, think of this. Every living being, every living and believing person will die. But they will never come to eternal death. So when I go to the dentist now, there's no fear when I go and have my teeth drilled and what have you. So somebody said my preaching is a bit like dentistry. It's boring, but there we are. They will never come to eternal death. All hope and thought of future life lies in him. He reveals he is the power which will raise you up in the last day, me up in the last day. Therefore, now it can bring life to you. Romans, I love Paul the Apostle. I can't wait to meet Paul. He's my hero. I love Romans. It's my favorite book, apart from John. And it says, Romans 6, 8 and 9, are you listening? Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Think about that. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die. Death no longer has mastery over him. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus is alive. And Jesus will never, ever die. I think that's good news. You see, all things came into being by his divine word. It was his word that created all things. You're here because God created you. Just receive it and accept this divine word. See, Christ was not created. He is life. He was eternal, is eternal, and all things were created by him. There's no life. It's not life through him, but life in him. Sorry, but in him is life. I'll say that again. Christ was not created. It's not life through him, but in him is life. As such, he's the very cause of life. He's the source of life. He's the fountain of life. He's the prince of life. Because he lives, we shall live also. Are you alive this morning, brothers and sisters? Are you enjoying Jesus every day of your life? You can experience his goodness wherever you go. In the prison last week, we had some guest singers, and not as good as our choir, nowhere near, not a patch on them. But they sang that old song, I am a new creation. Come on, say it with me. I am a new creation, no more in condemnation. Here in the grace of God I stand. My heart is overflowing. My love just keeps on growing. Here in the grace of God I stand. A joy that knows no limit. A lightness in my spirit. Here in the grace of God I stand. This is the revised version. I am a new creation. I'm not just making that up. That's not just a nice song that we used to sing or still sing. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. How great is that? So you're a brand new person when you come to Jesus. You get a new life, a new heart. It's like even when you're old, you're still young inside because of this new life, this eternal life, this thrilling life that God has imparted to you. You see, the new life is here. I don't have to wait till I die to get eternal life. I have eternal life now, hallelujah, because of Jesus. And I love the fact that we are freed from the fear of a godless life, freed from the futility of a godless life, freed from the frustration of a godless life, freed from the fear of a godless life. I love 1 Peter 5, verse 7, where Peter writes to these Christians who were displaced from their homes. They were in a mess, really. They'd lost everything, lost their careers, all their jobs. They'd lost their homes by persecution. They'd fled into a place where it was peaceful. And you know what? Peter says to them, you've got some worries. You're weighed down with your burdens, aren't you? Get a hold of those anxieties. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. You don't have to impress him. You don't have to be a good person. You don't have to be the best living person in your street. The Christianity is different to the world's religions. They're commonly occupied with trying to make their God care for them. But Christianity begins with and builds on the confidence that God already loves you. He couldn't love you more than he loves you. So stop trying to impress God. Just receive grace. Receive forgiveness. Receive healing. Receive freedom. Freed from fear, the fear of a godless life. And this is why I don't fear death. 1 Corinthians 15:55. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body, he says somewhere else, which is beautiful. And you're free from not only fear of a godless life, but the frustrations of a godless life. There are pleasures in the world. You can enjoy yourself out there. Some Christians think there's no pleasure out there. I'm a Christian and I'm much happier than those people in the world. Listen, there's pleasures there, but they're not eternal. They're temporal. Wow. I don't know whether you've been to the Cayman Islands, but the people who have been there, it's like paradise, isn't it? This is what they say. Well, I have news for you. Because it says this, and I've got the wrong talk here. Ah, here we are. The residents there pay no taxes. The water around them is calm and warm, and there are orchids growing everywhere. Is that right? Orchids? Yeah, there we are. Sounds good, doesn't it? But there's a catch. Medical studies reveal that the two major ailments suffered by the citizens of the Grand Cayman are hypertension and anxiety neurosis. Life on a tropical beach is not always what it appears to be. Could it be the stresses and pressures we have in this life, the struggles that we have actually come from within? Yes, and they will plague you no matter where you are. Don't think getting out of Rochdale will do it for you. It won't. Getting a new job will change everything. No, it won't. You see, here's how the psalmist did it. This is how he got freed from the fear, the frustrations of a godless life. In Psalm 32, verse 7, it says, and verse 8, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Is that good? If you can be freed from the frustration of a godless life. Oh, yes. Because you're precious to Jesus. Because he died on that cross. And when he died on that cross, he cleansed you from every sin. He chose you to be his own trophy of grace. You are precious to him today. So much so, he says, you are the apple of his eye. Isn't that great? It's amazing. Paul says we shine like stars in the universe. We are shining into a realm that we don't even know at this moment of time, but angels and other spiritual forces on the dark side see you and you shine and bring light. You chase the horrors of darkness away and the angels are attracted to you. How good is that, brothers and sisters? You shine like stars. Hallelujah. Instead of being a grim reaper, you become a glad reaper. And people see you and they want to know what you're on. They want to know what you've got. They want to experience it. And then we see we're freed from the futility of a godless life. We're cleansed and we've become the trophies of God. We are the possession of God. Peter says these words. Jesus, he'd been with Jesus for 3.5 years. He knew Jesus. He'd seen Jesus. He'd put his arm around Jesus. Prayed for by Jesus. Jesus loved Peter. And when Jesus had died and been raised from the dead and then ascended into heaven, Peter carried on the work that Jesus had started. And he was so blessed that Peter knew that in his letter, he writes, you, these were Gentiles. You are a chosen people. These were people who were not Jews. These were not the Old Testament. And today, the word of God is saying, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You weren't a people before, but you are now a people of God's choice. And you are, if you're a priest, that means you're a minister. You have a ministry. Every one of you has a ministry. Some of your ministry will be on Thursday at the Alpha Course. So don't forget to sign up at the end today to start working to help other people to come to faith. Or come on the Alpha Course if you've never been on one before. Your ministry might be on Saturday for a one-off to help Ernest, and as we feed over 100 and odd people in this place to bless them and rejoice in what God's been doing over the last 50 years. Application. Do you believe this? That's what Jesus said to Martha. Do you believe this? It's the most wonderful quote I could ever give to you. Will you take Jesus to be your Savior? Believe on Jesus. He paid the penalty for you. You are forgiven the moment you believe. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to give more money into the offering that we've not had so far, Rachel. We give. That doesn't get you to heaven. But when you're going to heaven, you want to bless and give to God. There is a glorious, thrilling, life-changing experience awaiting you once you grasp this free gift of salvation. It leads you from doubt and fear to faith and glorious certainty, for from constant defeat, from indwelling sin, to victorious living. Life, life, life. The life Jesus wants you to receive today. Let's pray, shall we? And the band can come forward, sing our closing song. I just want to say a little prayer with you. Father, thank you. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being here this morning and another day of grace, another opportunity for people to come to follow you, another day for us to serve you. And I pray that each and every one here in this place will know the peace of God. If you've never received the peace of God into your heart, receive it today by receiving this message I've shared with you. Just say, yes, David. I believe. I believe. I see it now. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Is my resurrection, is my life. I have no need to fear death anymore. If you've done that, if you said that little prayer inside to say, I believe, then, well, either come forward as we sing this last song or talk to me or someone at the end, and we'll share a little bit more with you about these wonderful truths. Rachel, thank you.